and 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, present Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Jay White and Liz Cooper present the Chapel Hill Carrboro community with insights from the world of culinary, local and national farming, and so much more. Side Dish is brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium. Great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Jay White and Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper. And Liz, we have some very important wine people with us today. Would you like to tell us who's on the table with us?
Yes, I would. I'm very excited to have Emily Papich and Leah Fagani from Chapelet Vineyards. So, give us a little background. Emily, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up with Chapelet, and then we'll go to Leila and get filled in.
Well, in terms of the wine business, I started out in New York City about 12 years ago, working my way through restaurants and honing my skills on the floor as a floor somm. And then from there, I moved back to my home state of Virginia, where I worked for an importer for 3 years, doing the whole sales thing. But I decided that I really wanted to be out in wine country and get to know that whole side of the business. So 2 years ago, I moved from Virginia out to Northern California.
And that's quite a change.
Yes, lots of moving around. So I've seen kind of all segments of the wine business, from the restaurant angle to the importing angle. Now I'm on the supplier side. So it's been a really interesting 12 years of work.
Go back a little bit before the restaurant. How did you know at an early on in your career that you wanted to make food and wine your career choice? Or was it just a temporary thing until you got a real job, like so many of us who find ourselves in the food business?
No, actually, I was I had a sales job in New York, and I loved reading about wine and drinking wine. And I was 22 years old and realized that this whole stack of books on my coffee table is all devoted to wine. So I decided to sign up for a wine tasting class with Kevin Zraley. He did the Windows on the World Wine School. And I loved it. I was hooked. And so he was a great kind of early mentor. I approached him and said, I want to be in this industry. How do I do this? So I kind of made that decision that I wanted to take this burgeoning passion and hobby of mine and turn it into a career.
What are some of the restaurants that you passed through on your way up?
I worked at Gramercy Tavern for 4 years in New York City. And then when I first moved out to wine country, I worked at a place in the Russian River called The Farmhouse.
Very nice. So, Leila, how about you? What brought you into the wine business?
It was completely accidental, to be honest. I started working out of college for Heineken, which is beer. I was in the beer business. So I was their high-profile manager in Manhattan for about 5 years. I actually started with their importing company prior to working for Heineken, their sister company, Star Brand Imports. So I was hand-selling specialty niche beers from all over the world, in New York, just going door to door.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It was actually a lot of fun. I learned a lot about the business. I've always been on the supplier side. So,
years ago was that? Was it really before the microbrewery craze?
It was right when it just hit, and it was gaining momentum at the time. So,
you had welcome audience for your product.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And at the time, Heineken had acquired these brands, and it was very new because, at the time, Heineken just owned Amstel Light and Heineken. Anyway, I did that for many years, and then I was promoted, and I worked for Heineken USA. I just reached a point where they say oftentimes when you work in the beer business, you work in the beer business to drink wine, and that's your ultimate, goal. That's pretty much what everybody would love to do at the end of the day. So
that's funny. In the wine business, at the end of the day, you can't wait to get a beer.
Yeah,
nice
it's,
cold
it's
beer,
like right. it's so it's so it's funny. Yeah. So anyway, I I just started applying for wineries. I had all of this experience working in Manhattan. I was really confident with, you know, the relationships that I had built over the years, and I had, you know, pretty much went on a couple interviews, and then I found out about Chapelet and their position, and it just seemed perfect for me. So the stars were aligned when, you know, everything came together. And I've been with Chapelet for 3 years now, and
I love it. So your position with Chapelet is?
So I branched out. I am no longer just in Manhattan. I'm Eastern Regional Manager, so I'm essentially covering a territory from Maine down to Florida, east of the Mississippi, and then parts of the Midwest as well.
Excellent.
So it's a really big territory, but
does that mean there's a ton of traveling involved?
There's a lot of traveling, and it's you know, it's definitely a little bit of traveling, but then also, you know, building your relationships so your relationships can maintain via email and phone, because I can't always be everywhere, you know, so that helps.
So are you doing like calls on retailers and food and beverage people, or just distributors?
I do a little bit of I do everything. So distributor, maintaining distributor relationships, working with sales reps that work for the distributors, and maintaining relationships with our retailers, both on and off premise, gaining distribution, you know, i.e. selling my wine, getting my wine into retailers.
From the winery to the distributor,
exactly,
to the sales reps.
Was Miami, you live in Miami.
I was in New York for 9 years. I was in Manhattan, and I just 6 months ago moved to Miami.
By your choice? I mean, you could have picked anywhere
absolutely.
On the East Coast.
I you know what? I put in my time. I was ready. Superstorm Sandy was
about the last straw. Right?
Yeah, that was pretty much. So it was my time to go, and I absolutely love Miami. Nothing will ever replace New York, though.
Yeah. So I'm sure you get back occasionally, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
That's the best way to make it a visit, destination
for sure.
visit instead of living.
Yeah, so I still manage our distributor there, so I am there quite often. But it's great. So,
well, we have going to have to go to break in a second. And just before we go, either one of you tell us how to find out more about the winery. Just give us a website.
Absolutely. So our website is www.chapelet.com, and that is spelled Chapellet.
Very good.
Excellent.
So we'll be right back with some more questions for these ladies. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with Liz Cooper. And Liz, just before the break, we were talking to Layla.
So Layla had mentioned what her position was with Chapelet, and I wanted to have Emily give us an opportunity to talk to us about what her position is with Chapelet as well and how she came into that position.
Yes. Well, so Chapelet is a medium-sized family-run winery, and part of the fun of working for a family rather than a corporation is that you get to wear many hats. So I have this kind of vague title, brand strategy manager, and that encompasses a lot of various kind of functional things that help the winery operate efficiently. So anything from logistics to inventory management, and then data analysis. So I basically try to help Layla and our Western regional manager steer the boat. And the idea being that in each vintage, we maintain an accurate supply flow to get us through 12 months so we can roll right into the next vintage without there being gaps in the pipeline. So
there's also a relatively important segment in there you didn't mention, and that's the education.
Yes,
portion.
Yes. So I also, people laugh when I say this. They go, well, what do you do as the manager, director of education for Chapelet? And I say, oh, well, I teach our staff about wine and try to get them excited about selling wine. And the next response is always, is it hard to get people who work at Chapelet excited about wine? And I'm like, no, that's why I love that part of my job. It's extremely easy. But no, I mean, everybody who works there is already passionate about wine, obviously, but more often than not, knowledgeable about the Napa Valley. So I will do tasting classes on Bordeaux and Burgundy and just try to kind of expand their horizons and, and hopefully also get them inspired about wine in general.
So you have a fairly distinguished couple of letters after your last name that you've gotten very recently. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So last year I passed my Master Sommelier diploma examination. So
congratulations.
Yes.
That is a huge feat.
Big news.
For people that don't know that.
Thank you.
That's a big deal.
So part of my role in education, I was going to say, I educate our staff, but then I also get out into the markets and work with key partners in both the trade and our distributorships just to try to spread the news and love about Chapelet Winery and kind of work in that regard as a brand ambassador.
So I Googled you in anticipation of our chat today, and the vineyard just seems amazing. I mean, the pictures online are just beautiful of the property. I mean, Napa itself is always pretty, but you seem to have a particularly beautiful piece of property out there, and it's been family-owned, like you said. So they're all involved still, second generation?
There were six children mm-hmm. in the second generation, and three of them are actively involved in the day-in and day-out operations of the winery. So, and then the three others live not in Napa, and they come up occasionally, and we see them and know them, but they're not involved in the day-in and day-out.
We're actually going into third generation.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little bit of background with Chapelet for those crazy people that don't know anything about it? How they established, when they got started, have they been in the wine business for a long time, or did they just stumble onto this incredible piece of property and think, hey, let's plant some grapes here and make some really good wine?
They kind of stumbled upon it. So Don and Molly are from Los Angeles originally, and Don had a very successful coffee vending machine company in the 1950s, and he wanted to get out of that and sold all of his shares of the company, and he wanted to either go into ranching or winemaking. So he and Molly looked at properties in Montana and Idaho and decided that was ultimately too remote for them to raise their children and be ranchers. So they knew that wine was going to be where they were going to take their next step. And they came up to Napa quite a few times before they purchased Pritchard Hill and the land that they still live on now.
So they went from keeping people awake to helping them relax them and put them to sleep.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yes.
Was Pritchard Hill an existing vineyard, or was it just...
There were vines there. Mm-hmm. They weren't making... There was no estate production. They sold their grapes on the bulk market. But when they bought their property in the mid-60s, there were Sangiovese, Riesling, Gamay, kind of this whole gamut of lesser-known grape mm-hmm. varieties for Napa anyway. And Don had this vision of planting high-end, world-class Cabernet on this vineyard. Which
how many years did it take before his first bottling? I mean, sometimes vines take while to age, right?
Well, that's a great question. So he obviously didn't rip out the vineyard all at once and replant it. So back in the late 60s and early 70s, you can still sometimes dig up a bottle of Chapelet Riesling, Chapelet Sangiovese. I tried that from the 1995 vintage. We made it recently as the 90s. It was superb. Amazing.
We had the 90 cab yesterday afternoon, and it was holding up quite nicely.
Yes. So, amazing structure on the Sangiovese. I was very impressed with how that wine is aged. But now we don't have... The only thing that's left over from those original plantings are 3 acres of Chenin Blanc vines. But over the past 45 years, everything else has been turned over to Cabernet Sauvignon for the most part, and then the other Bordeaux blending grape varieties.
So his vision saw fruition, and
actually, it's interesting. The name Pritchard Hill comes from a gentleman by the name of Charles Pritchard, who migrated there from New York in the 1800s And he had established a little homestead for himself there. And
so that's great. They've sort of kept that
yeah,
going. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So does the vineyard have the typical Napa tasting room and all the tourist kind of things? Or is it you have to make it an appointment to visit your vineyard? Or
I was going to say yes and no, because we are open 7 days a week by appointment only. We try our best to accommodate every person that wants to come through the door. But finding the vineyard is a little bit more off the beaten path. We don't have a big sign at the bottom of the road. So, yes, we do embrace.
So maybe check out the website and
yes, we have a
beforehand.
Detailed maps and directions on the website, but there's not cell phone service out there in our parts near the vineyard. And so a lot of people, we try to tell them, download the map. Don't expect to be able to hop on your phone and and find it, and GPS doesn't bring you to the winery.
Well,
so
before we go to break, give us the website one more time, and then we'll...
Yes, it's www.chapelet.com.
Very good. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL.
You're listening to Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper, presented by Southern Season. Now, back to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with Liz Cooper, and we're talking wine today.
Yeah, so, wow, time has flown by very quickly. But Emily and Layla, you mentioned that you did a dinner last night, and I had the opportunity to taste through your wines yesterday afternoon at the Umstead. But I know that you had a wonderful wine dinner at the Farrington House last night with Max Cast, who's been one of our guests on the show, and Colin. So speaking of dinner parties, we have some hot seat questions that we like to ask all of our guests.
Can't wait for this.
The seat is getting hotter.
So the very first question, because we've just talked about the dinner, is if you are to go to a dinner party and you have your choice to sit between any two people, living or dead, famous or not famous, who would it be? So, Emily?
Well, I went with living people, and I picked Bill Murray, because he seems like he likes to drink like a lot and have a good time. And then on the other side of me, I picked Anthony Bourdain, because I think he's
you.
A pretty fascinating individual and full of stories. And I think he also probably likes to dabble in the alcohol as well. So
that's a great combination.
That's a great combination.
Yes. Yep.
Layla, how about you?
I would pick Floyd Mayweather simply because I'm a huge boxing fan. I'm a boxer myself, and I really respect his career. To the left or the right of me, the other person would be Pavda Lakshmi. I really like her as well. She's from Top Chef. And I respect her career and what she's done as well. So
great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting
yeah.
group. It'd be so a fun dinner party.
Yeah.
So Layla picked people who inspired her, and I picked people that I wanted
drink
to have
with.
The drinking and having a good time. I think it would be interesting conversation on both sides.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I have to follow up, though, on the boxing. So do you do it just as exercise?
Fun. It's great.
How long have you been doing that?
For about 4 years now. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it really helps with my focus, too.
It's probably got a great way to vent as well.
It's amazing.
Well. You know, you need to get that.
The thing like punching things. Let off some steam.
That's what I was thinking of. I was like, oh, gosh, I might need to take that off.
Yeah. So the other question that we like to tease our guests with is, if we opened your refrigerator at home, what secret would we find in there that you might not want us to see?
Oh, Layla, do you want to go for this one first?
To be honest with you, I have such a clean refrigerator, and in terms of my what I put in my body. So I would say just dark chocolate, like lots and lots of dark chocolate. I like to keep in the refrigerator.
That's good.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So my husband and I are avid drinkers of very cheap beer. So at any given time, you might find, you know, a case of Coors Light or Budweiser. My favorite is Modelo Especial.
Oh,
there you go.
Yes,
there you go.
That's my guilty pleasure there. So,
have you ever had Rolling Rock?
Have I ever had Rolling Rock?
Yeah. Rolling Rock was my house beer for quite a while. So it's just so light and
it is.
It's refreshing. I like it. Well, it's really been fun talking to both of you.
Thank you.
Good
for
luck with
us.
Your careers. Congratulations again on your MS.
Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you.
Enjoy living in Miami. Are you in South Beach? Or just,
I am.
Oh,
South
there
Beach.
You go.
Yeah.
If you could see Layla, she has beautiful blonde hair. She
looks like a beautiful Florida girl.
I have to slather on that SPF, though, because that sun is dangerous.
Well, so don't forget that you can pick up these Chaplet wines in most retailers and finer restaurants, and certainly at Southern Season.
So you've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Join us again next week for another show.